This is Ruthless Aggression. Happy holiday weekend. We're going to talk about a little bit of wrestling because we're sandwiched in between two pay-per-views. Chris Rob, when's the last time we've had one pay-per-view after Thanksgiving, let alone like two within like the same 7-8 days?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, they did it for Clash of the Castle and All Out. Those were back-to-back days. But it kind of seems like these holiday weekends, a couple of them every year, are going to just be loaded up with, you know, various sports and wrestling and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, we got World Cup happening, obviously NBA, NFL's in full swing, and then the two pay-per-views. It's really just, it's coming along all perfectly. And, you know, we'll get to Survivor Series, War Games, in just a bit. We'll also go back and talk about a couple weeks in 2006 as we're on the road to Survivor Series in 2006. But we start with Full Gear. What is this, the third or fourth Full Gear they've done? Fourth Full Gear, I believe.
Third,
I believe, yeah.
Didn't they do one in 2019?
No, because I don't think that they did like a month in, if I don't.
Yeah,
so it's been like a month in.
I believe they did. There was one in 2019
because they did the Jericho Mox Championship and match.
Oh, that's yeah. Right. Yeah,
Jericho,
that's
Cody, right. And Mox and
that's
Kenny,
right.
And the lights out.
You're
match.
Right. Yep. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. All right. I'm literally staring at it on the fucking Wikipedia page. The fourth annual Four Gear pay per view, man. Happened this past Saturday in Newark. Chris, any Newark tidbits you want to throw out there?
You know, I've only been to Prudential Center a couple of times. It's a fine venue, kind of small. For, you know,
smaller
like
smaller than Continental.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, because you know, some arenas will downscale with the purpose being more room, more amenities.
Yeah. I've only been there for, I went there for one wrestling show. I think it was the first Hell in a Cell. And I went there for a couple Devil hockey games. And maybe another show for wrestling. I don't know. I don't think so.
Right across from the train station.
Yeah, it's right nice. Across from the train station. There is a sky bridge that can take you there now. It's fine. It's fine.
It's not bad. It's not.
Yeah.
Bad. Well, they did Full Gear in Newark, which is I think cool because yeah, Full Gear in New York. They announced that Revolution's going to be in LA, so just continuing to expand with AEW. But obviously, the big match was the main event for the championship, MJF getting his crown and winning under, of course, nefarious circumstances with the help of William Regal and those brass knucks turning on Jon Moxley. And I assume that's the death of Blackpool Combat Club, should be.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it. You know, Mox was supposed to have time off just after All Out, so I think right. He's going to take it now. And, you know,
thanks Daniel for carrying the company.
Yeah, like, you know, Danielson, Cesaro can just still do whatever. They could be a team, but like Wheeler Yuta hasn't really even been around, and now they don't have Regal anymore. So yeah, it was fun, but I also don't know that it necessarily benefited anyone except for like this is a cool thing because I like all these guys. So it's
Wheeler
fine.
Wheeler Yuta TV time. So I mean,
yeah,
I guess. I love this match. I love the because it felt very much like '98 Survivor Series, didn't it? When you yeah. have Rock and Mankind, and Rock's obviously getting the cheers, the fans love him, and he's getting the babyface, you know, reactions. It's very much playing out like babyface Rock versus heel Mankind with MJF and Mox, and kudos to both of them, especially Mox, for you know, for playing into, you know, the cocky champion. This dude doesn't stand a chance with me. I'm running through the gym. And I really liked how this match played out. And, of course, at the end, you knew. Couldn't anyone with a brain who couldn't damn well MJF wasn't gonna be the baby face at the end of this match. But it's also like you don't feel bad for Moxley because Moxley's not somebody that deserves sympathy.
No,
so
exactly.
It played out perfectly.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he'll come back when he comes back and he'll still be perfectly fine. He'll be in the same spot he is right now. So like yeah, he's not hurt by it or whatever. It was a very good match. I like, you know, they both did a good job really playing to the crowd. Because I didn't really know what the crowd was going to be like, and I'm not sure they did either, and they just kind of adjusted on the fly and kind of figured that Riga would play into the finish. I didn't know if he was going to help MJF or just kind of tell him, you know, don't do it, you know, properly or whatever instead, but he aligned with him instead, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm probably going to watch Dynamite. I've probably watched Dynamite already by the time this comes out. Haven't really been watching it live since Grand Slam, but I probably will watch it live this week. And, you know, I overall, and, you know, we can get into some of the other matches kind of as they come up. But, like, I think AEW kind of needed a home run here, and they hit one. So credit to them.
Yeah, especially with the main event. Like, I wasn't as enthusiastic about the pay-per-view as a whole than a lot of other people were. But the main event hit. And I think, you know, when you're making that transition, it's been a real tumultuous year. For All Elite Wrestling, you're trying to, you know, give the reins to Punk you paid all this money to, and not once but twice he fails you, and he's not able to step up to that level. So now you're forced to pivot, and, you know, Moxley was the perfect dude to carry the company for as long as he did, but like he said, he needs fucking vacation. He needs to go home and he needs to chill. Like, dude has been through a lot too. So now you have MJF, who has been genuinely growing into a superstar over the last couple years. He's ready to be that top heel. You know, if you're going to have all the other heels, Jericho's caught up with his Ring of Honor run, his Ring of Honor title run. A couple of the other heels aren't ready for that yet. MJF is perfect heel for right now to carry the company until that next babyface is ready to be a champion. So,
I mean, someone's got to tell MJF that no one cares about Patty Pimblett, and no one's really gonna.
Yeah, this is literally like.
But.
<you know. laughs> This is really like the most generic ass pro wrestler versus UFC. You know, fight that you can put together is MJF versus Patty Pimblett. But MJF probably more popular. MJF is going to be in an A24 movie. So,
oh yeah, exactly.
He's in the Von Erich movie. Yeah,
he is. Yeah, that movie actually looks pretty good.
It's going to kick ass. Zac Efron looks so much like Carrie.
I think with that movie, just to interject, I think the thing I'm fascinated by in sort of a morbid way is how are people who have no information on that situation going to react to it, because it is so jarring and traumatic that it's like, I think people are going to walk away from that thing.
And it's A24, so they're going to be honest with it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been telling my girlfriend about it, and, you know, she doesn't know anything about the Von Erichs, and, you know, trying to break down, like, you know, everything that's happened. And I'm just like, yo, this is going to be the most jarring biopic, you know, not just within sports, but period.
Oh, yeah.
Just because everything that this family's been through, and then the ways that, you know, the four passed. I'm just gonna kick ass, and, you know, congrats to MJF getting that's such, you know, massive exposure, and then also being the champion and being the one to champion the company. You know, they've only had a couple of guys that, like, you can consider homegrown, and, like, Hangman Page is on he's teetering there, because he's not AEW homegrown, so to speak, but, you know, as far as, like, a major promotion, MJF is homegrown in AEW. And, you know, it's important for them to have that guy, that champion. He might be the first homegrown champion that they've had. So, eager to see that title reign and how it plays out and what it does for the future of the company. Going from one championship to another, to an interim champion, Jamie Hayter is now interim women's champion, which, like, sucks for her because... You're not champ. Thunder Rose is there, but she ain't coming back. Like, what the fuck's going on with that? I don't care anymore. Just make her regular champ.
Yeah, I don't really understand what it is that they're doing. But, you know,
Rant in a bit.
Yeah, it doesn't really take away from the match. I think it was one of their best women's matches that they've had, if not the best. I really enjoyed it.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, well, yes, obviously they're both very good. You know, I'm happy for Jamie. She's really come along a lot over the past year. You know, this match and the Acclaim winning and MJF winning kind of felt like a statement where it's like, hey, you know, we've kind of relied on these outside people a lot. Let's get back to basics here. I think it was intentional. And I think
the only established stars that won championships or held on to belts were Jericho and then Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like... But yeah, no, the match was great. Very physical. I know Tony got beat up pretty bad. She posted a picture yesterday, I believe. I just hope.
Yeah, what happened? Did she get smacked in the face?
Yeah,
like right down like her eyes or like her nose.
Right, that was kind of it was kind of like makeup for a second.
Yeah.
I hope it just doesn't go to either, you know, Jamie against Britt or Jamie against Saraya.
They're definitely gonna do Jamie versus Britt at some point.
Yeah,
let's be serious.
I know, but like, you could do better.
I know you probably can do better, but let's be serious.
You can do so much better. What they're gonna do. Send Britt Baker off to Siberia. That would be better.
That's kind of the thing. Like, she could use some time away, but also, like, the crowds are still very receptive to her. That's why she's on TV every week.
I mean, they are, but also, like, I feel like the stuff with Saraya wasn't working.
No, it didn't work.
Yeah, speaking of, how'd that match work for y'all? Because it didn't, or for you, it was cool. I should say, because it didn't work for
you. It was good. I was happy that, you know, she got back and, you know, she was able to wrestle and all that. I know it was a big thing for her. That's cool. But after the first couple minutes, it was just like, okay. I mean, I don't really like either of these two.
That crowd was dead.
Yeah, and then they got like 15 minutes.
Why? For what? Yeah.
In the
last 8-9 years that Saraya has been around, have you ever said, damn, man, I really wish the Saraya match would go from 15? No!
Yeah, maybe a couple in NXT, but like...
Oh, no, I probably had.
But yeah, I mean, even then, like...
Yeah.
Well, you want to see Paige and Natty go 15? Fuck that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
All right, so I guess my only thoughts from the situation were just like, okay, why was Tony chirping all of that just to lose? Yeah. Why did all that happen just to turn around? Because I'm not even...
And by the chirping, you're referencing the stuff with her being interim champ for as long as she was interim champ for... 5 months?
For quite a few months.
Damn near half a year.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, it was for only two, because I think she won it all out, if I recall correctly, right?
Yeah.
She won it all out.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. She won it all out. My thing was just like, why is she talking and acting like Thunder doesn't have a legit injury or whatever? And all that just to turn around and lose. This isn't even me blaming the booking. My question is, what is she doing?
Yeah,
because I didn't understand. I could understand it if the end game was okay. They're gonna end up doing Thunder and Tony. They're doing this stupid work shoot stuff they do every other time. That didn't happen. It just makes her look bad because it looks like people got in her ear. And I don't need to say people. It was probably Britt who's been saying that stuff about her all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So I just think that she comes out of it looking bad.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, I think, to see where they go next with, you know, Tony.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole kind of thing from when she came in to
now,
you know, now was, oh, she's going to win the title and then she's going to be champion. So now it's, what do you do now? Does she kind of fall into the, oh, you're on Dark, you're on Elevation, you're not really featured stuff? Or does she still make TV every week like she's mostly been doing?
If the first thing happens, my only statement is this has been a gigantic waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a weird way for everything to have gone after the entire year, really.
Yeah.
No, it's 100,000% been a waste of time. But hey, we're here. But
yeah, I mean, I'm happy for Jamie. I'm happy that she has a title belt. She's certainly worked hard. I think she's come across as one of their better young players over there. She's under 30 still. I think the sky's the limit for her. I think with enough investment behind her, she can definitely be a major player in the industry for women's wrestling. And she's one of my favorites out there right now. So I hope that the investment is there for her, and I hope that, you know, this isn't just another excuse to just get to Britt. I know that they're going to do Jamie versus Britt at some point. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do that, you gotta cut bait with the interim stuff, and you got to just make Jamie the champion.
1,000%. If Thunder Rosa can't wrestle, if she doesn't want to wrestle, whatever. Like, she's been gone this long. It is what it is. You have to make the business decision that you have to make and mm-hmm. make Jamie Hayter the champion, because she's been there. To use the football analogy, we saw this past Sunday what a mess can be made when you don't take accountability for your poor play or otherwise.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson's not starting Sunday, not only because he was shitty, but because he did not take accountability for being shitty and for probably being the reason that they lost 10-3. Your Thunder Rosa, you've been gone for however many months. You're not showing any sign of coming back. You're not talking like you're coming back. You're not present. Meanwhile, there's folks who are present and who are all at all the shows and who are putting in the work. They need to be the ones to hold that belt if you are not going to be there. And Tony Khan's going to have to say, yo, it's been 2 months too long. Fuck you. This is my champion. He should have did it with Tony, but it is what it is. Do it with Jamie. Don't let this shit happen a second time and have it linger into 2023. It would be a fucking abomination.
Yeah.
For that to linger in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anywhere else to go with this pay-per-view?
Anything else you liked? I liked the cage match. It was weird to me to see them out of the cage for a bit just because I'm so used to, you know, the WWE cage matches. But I think it was a good, cool moment. You know, Jungle Boy kind of has gotten bogged down a little bit this year because his feuds lasted forever and then Christian got hurt and they just kept it going anyway. But, you know, he got his moment. He got to jump off the top of the cage. It was pretty cool. Want to see what's next for him. I'm happy the Elite are, well, I'm happy Kenny. I'm happy Kenny's back.
There you go.
Like Kenny a lot.
how did you just, let's stop there. How did you like the theatrics of everything?
Oh, that ruled. I love that. That was awesome. And the match itself was pretty good, too. I just don't know that I need to see it six more times.
Right. I don't know.
I was going to ask.
Sorry, I was going to say, like, we've seen some part of the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Bros, like, 30 fucking times over the last 5-6 years.
Yeah,
you just throw in Pac and Kenny Omega, who we've also seen a few times over the last couple of years.
I get it because it's good, and, you know, people haven't seen the Elite wrestle. They want to see them, you know, after being off the last 2 months.
It makes sense,
but, like,
with the trios being new. It's kind of the only trios you have.
But, and, like, for the most part, best of seven series in wrestling have been good, so it's felt like we saw the Booker and Benoit one last year.
But here's the thing with the thing you just mentioned with Booker and Benoit. Why did that happen?
Well,
because there was an angle
with contestants.
There was an angle, there was a contestant. Just doing a best of seven series just to do it is just...
But also, didn't they announce the best of seven after the first match?
Yes, exactly.
Why the fuck would you announce the best of seven after the first match? It was a clean finish!
Yeah, that's the thing.
They lost fair and fucking square! We don't need to see that shit seven fucking times! Well, we've seen it seven times three! Or times five! Or times six! I don't know how many fucking times I've seen them wrestle! Yeah, it's good! Fuck! I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I understand completely. Just because, like, you know, it's going seven. They wouldn't say that it's going seven.
The last match is at Kia Forum LA. It's going seven.
Please, give me a break. Of course, that's happening.
Like, don't bullshit yourself. And they're probably going to do it. Lucha Bros have a 3-1 lead, and all of a sudden the Elite come back.
Yep.
Predictable shit. But yeah, I thought the theatrics was funny, and then leading into the whole fuck CM Punk shit. I mean, like, is it petty? Yes. I love petty. Give it to me. Feed it to me. Feed me the petty. Why would you run away? If you're the Elite, you watch that man get up at a press conference and call you guys fucking kids and fucking losers and clown you in your own company when you just made him champion. I understand it's petty. I understand you had to fight. But you might as well milk the jokes for all it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody deserves it more. So it's not like if this was a redeemable person, I would be like, yeah, it's kind of a low blow. But it's CM Punk.
Yeah.
I hate saying it. Like, I hate saying it now. But hey, man says who he is.
It is going to be interesting to me, and perhaps me only, the fact that they're in Chicago tonight for Dynamite.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how much Chicago is going to be on Punk's side.
That's what I'm really wondering. Like, because it could it's going to be funny either way. I just want to know which direction I'm laughing at.
Yeah, and then when what jokes come out.
So, exactly, yeah.
That should be really fun. Survivor Series War Games is this Saturday in Boston. TD Garden is the fourth Survivor Series to be held in Boston, 93. I don't remember the main event, but I do remember that was the one where Brett and Owen, their conflict.
Yeah. Started. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
2008. That would have been Cena.
Cena came back after Cena a brief Jericho, injury. That's right. Yeah. He had like a brief, he had a brief injury. I think he suffered in the Batista Cena match. Then he came back. I think it was something with Jericho.
Yeah,
that he
and,
did.
2013, we don't need to talk about because wish
no,
it didn't happen.
No, we do not.
Whew, wish it did not happen. It's also the first Survivor Series to take place on a Saturday, and the first since '94 to not take place on a Sunday. I really do enjoy that. Like, this is not only not taking place on a Sunday, but it's taking place after Thanksgiving. Like, it's been a long time since we have Survivor Series. It's been after Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving. So that's good. And then another first. Finally, this shit's not revolving around brand supremacy. Thank the fucking Lord.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we've talked about the Saturday show with quite a bit. Big fan of them. It's cool that WrestleMania is probably going to be, like, the only Sunday show now.
Yeah. Because it's the only one that needs to be. More. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know some people that like college football.
Is the Royal, is the Rumble Saturday?
That's right? Saturday, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
I know, you know, college football people get a little upset because, you know, they can't watch college football on the events, but my team famously plays afternoon
games. I was also going to say, like,
what big game is Saturday
night? Yeah, that's the thing.
To be fair, like, there's not a lot of
USC?
Yeah,
that's Notre Dame USC, I think, is the biggest primetime game this weekend, but all the other big games are happening in the afternoon. Or morning.
Yeah, so it'll be good. Boston usually has a pretty good crowd. So,
yep.
It's sold out because all the pay-per-views sell out now very quickly.
They do.
Rumble's got the biggest gate for a Royal Rumble of all time already. So
already.
I know. Yeah. I was going to try and go, but
again, in the Alamo Dome. They love the Alamo Dome.
They do, yeah. They do love the Alamo Dome.
I'm just looking at the card. Outside of the War Games, this match, at least right now, because we're past Raw. We got SmackDown on Friday, so maybe there's some additions. The War Games matches, you can pencil in at least for 50 each. But the rest of the card, I'm like, I'm going to watch, but I'm not, like, enthused about this card.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, you know, a lot of the build has just been the War Games matches.
Which is fine. It should be, really.
Like, and then the other three matches, like, I thought Ronda and Shotzi had a really good match on SmackDown a few months ago, so maybe they can get something.
They'll do fine here.
Even if they just have Shotzi, you know, do a couple big spots, and, you know, that's what people will remember.
Exactly.
AJ Finn kind of has a high floor to me. I don't know that it's going to be as good as the TLC match, which was awesome. But, you know, it was 6 years ago or whatever.
That's so weird that that's a singles match.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a nice little showcase.
You could have just had it be like a Survivor Series match, but then you run into time.
Well, then you run into time, and they also wanted Rhea to be involved in War Games. So, and same thing with Mia. So
4-on-4, maybe.
Well, who's the fourth?
Y'all ain't Scotty Too Hotty. Y'all better get in there and work.
Yeah.
Who's the fourth?
I mean, it would have been like Edge and then someone on the
heel. Well, then they couldn't get then it sounds like they couldn't get it to work. Why would Edge join?
Well, yeah, that fine that it's a singles match. Ray. I just kind of want the feud to go Ray. Yeah, it would have been maybe, but.
Well, they're probably saving Ray and Dominic for Mania. Those two need to be apart from each other for several months. They've been around each other for 2 years.
I kind of hope that this is the end of this feud just because I know it's evolved and changed a little bit, but I would like.
I doubt it.
And I would like it to just kind of not be around anymore. I think we might get a big Edge return too in this match.
Doubt it.
Possibly.
Doubt it.
Real quick, winner between AJ and Finn. Let's just go ahead and knock that out of the ballpark.
I'm gonna go with Finn. I think that first off, I agree with Rob. The floor is pretty high for this match.
Yeah.
I think that this match is going to be one of the better singles matches that we've seen. Finn. This is
they haven't touched since 2017, right?
Yeah, yeah. They haven't touched since 2017 in the ring, and that only happened, of course, because of the outbreak that they had in the locker room that caused people to get sick. They brought Finn up from South America just to wrestle AJ. Or I think it was the other way around, actually, because I think if I remember correctly, Finn was supposed to be at the pay-per-view.
It was supposed to be Finn against Bray.
Yeah, Finn against the Demon against Sister Abigail. Yeah, correct.
And then we got that.
And then we got that instead.
Actually, good.
Yeah, it was actually phenomenal. This is another big showcase singles match for Finn under Triple H, who has notoriously and famously let him, you know, do work and cook. And Styles hasn't had a really big singles match like this since Mania. The Mania match against Edge, mixed opinions on it. I think he's going to be motivated. I think these two are going to be motivated. I think this is going to be a really fun match. Personally speaking, while Rob may detest it, I would like for this to keep going. I want these two to keep wrestling. I'm going to want these two to keep wrestling after this weekend because there's 2 months to go until the Rumble. People need to have some things tied up, and TV needs to get some more importance.
Well, that's kind of – I'm glad you brought that up because that's a big point too, that there's no pay-per-view between Survivor Series and Rumble. So you would hope that over the next 8 weeks, the TV gets a heightened importance.
Yes, exactly. And I think it will.
Some of the Raws, parts of them have felt a little phoned in. It's hard. It's a three-hour show, and you don't have, Roman there for 30 minutes of it. So,
but they're about to get somebody back. We'll talk about that in a bit.
They're about to get a handful of people back, I hope so, over the next few weeks. But I'm going to go with AJ here, actually. He hasn't won a pay-per-view match in quite some time. There's a graphic going around yesterday. Cool. I just think he needs to get a win, get back on track.
Fair play.
We'll see where they go from there.
Triple threat match for the United States Championship. Seth freaking Rollins is defending against Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory. Seems like Theory's getting a little bit of a attitude change. Who you got?
I'd go with Seth. Just doesn't really make sense for him to lose the title at this juncture. I don't know what they're going to do with the title reign, if they're just going to do the open challenge stuff. Or it's weird that Ali's been featured so much and isn't in this match, but his feature has just been him getting the shit kicked out of him by all these guys. This is a match I think also has a high floor. I've actually enjoyed Theory's in-ring work the past few weeks. Lashley doesn't need that title again, and I don't want to see it on Theory. So, that makes the most sense.
He does. He does.
It's clear that they'll probably, with Lashley, have him eliminate Brock in the Rumble, or Brock eliminate him, and that'll set up their Mania match.
Agreed.
Just biding their time for then. I think, I'm not the biggest fan of him, but I think with Seth, you need to have... Because when Lashley had that title, it kind of felt like the main title on Raw, and... since Seth won it, it's more been the women's stuff, which is fine.
No. The women's stuff has been the main attraction.
That's fair.
But I think the Lashley held the title. He was facing guys to get that title back to prestige. Seth, he obviously is on a different level in terms of the star power and stuff like that. So
I haven't really cared too much until right now, but I am ready for Raw to have a world championship again.
Yep. Been saying that for about a month now. Even when I watch the opens, I'm just like, I know Roman's champ and he be on here sometimes, but this shit just don't feel right.
Yeah.
So, I think it is what it is ultimately, and I'm obviously not going to be upset since the women have gotten, primo segments. Plus,
it's not necessarily an upset for me. It's not like I'm upset.
It would be an enhancer. Off. I agree.
Yeah, kind of knowing that it probably is coming relatively soon.
Of course. That totally makes sense. As for this, I will go with Seth as well. I don't think it's time yet to take the title off of him. Regrettably, I have enjoyed what direction they're taking Theory in. I always say this, and I will continue to say it. I don't care if you lose a match on TV or go through a situation like he did, if you react to it. If there's actual reaction to it, if there's time taken on it with the character stuff, then that's fine. You can lose all you want. As long as you're doing something and as long as you're building off of that and you're going somewhere with it, that's okay. That's why for me, back in the spring, the Becky's downward spiral stuff, it didn't really work for me because as much as they were trying to emphasize it, they were only emphasizing it in her monologues. And you can't just have one segment show it and then do nothing else afterwards. But they've been focusing on Theory backstage. He's explained things. and this, it's shown in the ring, you know, his aggression and whatnot. With this match, all three of these people hate each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's going to end up happening is someone in the match, Seth, is going to take advantage of the other two people, you know, being too distracted with disliking each other. So Seth will probably sneak around and get the win. I do think this match will probably be better than maybe the expectation for it. But that's just because I think Seth can help lead a match and the other two, Lashley's great. I think Theory is on the right path and is with the right people in this match.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree, though, that Ronda's retaining against Shotzi. Yeah. We can probably just move on to the War Games matches. I will say this is, if you're going to do this match, this is the show to do it. Because it's low pressure and all the attention is not on that match. It's on the War Games matches. This is how I feel about Money in the Bank as well. When they did Bianca and Carmella or whatever, or even before it, you know, you can get away with that, or you can do things like that. You can try new things at shows where, you know, those title matches may not be the feature attraction. So this is a good spot for Shotzi. I hope she does well.
Agreed. Love my girl Shotzi. Let's talk about War Games. First time ever on main roster WWE television. So pretty crazy. We're seeing a WCW invention of this ilk.
WWE
proper.
They were going to do one like 10 years ago or so, and then they just never did. I don't really remember what happened, but I mean, Vince probably woke up and changed his mind one day, and that was that, but... Yeah,
it's cool that I finally hear that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it's good that that didn't happen.
Oh, it would not... awesome that these two are the first ones. Yeah. Instead of having, you know, Jack Swagger and Hunico, and it's got, you know, good wrestlers.
You say Jack Swagger and Hunico?
Yeah.
That's funny. Let's start with the women. On the heel side, Damage Control. That's Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky. Nikki Cross is no longer ASH. She's in this too. And Rhea Ripley is going to be in this match in addition to hanging around with Judgment Day and fighting off Mia Yim in that match. And then on the face side, we know of four, but we know of five. Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and we're sitting here. It's Wednesday that we're recording this. We're 3 days away from Survivor Series. There's one spot left. And, you know, if they were going to give that spot to Candice LeRae, they would have did it Monday.
They would have done that Monday. They would have done that weeks ago.
Exactly. You're not doing it for Candice LeRae. You're not doing it for just a regular, negla, schmegla wrestler. We know who's coming back on Saturday.
Yeah.
And we know who she's coming back as. Break out your man shirts, everybody. Who you picking?
Oh, this is probably, I honestly, assuming that Becky does come back, and she's probably going to because there's been multiple reports about it. First off, I just want to point out this match, assuming Becky's in it, that means that you will have a match featuring the following: Bianca, Alexa, Asuka, Becky, Bayley, and Rhea Ripley. Those are six of the biggest stars in the women's division since at least 2016.
There's only one.
And going forward, for Rhea will be in the future. Same thing with Bianca.
The only one missing is on wedding vacation still.
Yeah. You have Nikki Cross, who's won championships and has wrestled all the big people. Mia Yim is a key contributor, obviously, as well. And then you have Dakota and Io, who are talented individuals as well. This is, in my opinion, and I don't even think it's close. This is the most star power a women's match has had that isn't a Royal Rumble in, like, ever.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So from that standpoint, immediately, you're putting all your big guns in this match. You're probably going to have a great match. And I'm really looking forward to this. It's such a tough call because you figure the heels could win. I think that if I'm going to make a pick, it's going to be them. Not surprisingly, but you know, if it's Becky and Bianca on one side, they have a lot to conquer, obviously. Yeah. You're facing two of the most popular baby faces that they have going. And when you do that, you obviously run into some issue. Yeah, however, I think you can still get away with it because you can protect people in a War Games match.
What if someone on the babyface side is not actually working for the babyfaces?
That's also true. I wanted to point this out. On Monday, when Bayley was running, everyone was running Alexa and Asuka down for being around Bianca anyway. They didn't really dispute that. I don't think Asuka's going to turn, but Alexa could. And if she does, I think she would turn on Bianca, because I think that they haven't really forgotten the fact that Alexa said that she was gunning for the title. So I think that the babyfaces, if the babyfaces have somebody on the team who doesn't actually have their own intentions to stay with them, then yes, the heels can win. If they're just going in as a unit, obviously the babyfaces win. I don't know what the reaction to either side is going to be, but for me, I think I'm just excited that they're doing War Games because it's one of my favorite match types.
Yeah.
As far as predictions go, I will obviously run with Bayley until the wheels fall off. So, Rob, your turn.
Yeah, I'm actually going with the heels, and it's just because I'm going with the babyface in the other match, but we'll get there in a minute. I don't think, you know, the same group is going to win both of them, or same alignment, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I think it is a lot to overcome with Bianca and Becky, but I think Alexa either turns on them in the match or just leaves her cage and, you know, instead of going to the ring, just leaves. You know, we kind of said all throughout that this Bianca and Asuka and Alexa thing probably isn't a long-term thing, mm-hmm. and I don't see really any reason to keep it going after this, whereas, you know,
definitely not.
Dakota and Io are champions, so you can't break them up, so the Bingo. Group that makes sense to break up is Asuka and Alexa, and either those two feud, or you go into, you know, Bianca and Alexa, like they were going to do. That's a match that, you know, is fitting of a stadium show, yeah, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I think, and then, you know, by that logic, the babyfaces are playing from behind. They're not hurt by losing. No. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Damage Control and Rhea here. I think probably Rhea is going to get the pin. She seems to be the one that everyone is.
It could either be, I think it's either going to be her or it's going to be Bayley. Let's be honest. It'll be one of those two who get the pin for the heels. I can't see anyone else right now.
I'm going to go with the faces because I have a general rule when it comes to matches like this. When you have two of them, you generally zig on one and then zag on the other.
Yep.
It's a common theory. You know, if you're watching a playoff series, team that wins game one will probably lose game two, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the faces, especially if Becky is a part of this, are going to be able to get the victory. That's going to be a nice little moment to open the show with Becky, Bianca, all like raising hands and triumph, you know, because it does nothing for the championship run. Like, all the women are involved on either side are still going to be gunning for that championship. On the other side, though, it's been very clear where they're trying to pivot for Roman's next championship match. And they have all of the players within that match set up for this to go towards the bloodline. So where I am zigging with the faces on the women's side, I'm zagging with the heels on the men's side. Because I think that the bloodline win the men's War Games match. And I'll explain, but let's get your picks.
Yeah, so in this one, like I said, I'm going with the baby faces. Just because I think, and it's not, you know, the strongest take, I guess, but I think Sammy's going to get the pin, and then you finally have to start this build to probably KO and Sammy teaming up. I don't know that they're going to do Sammy and Roman. I know people think that, but
But they could also do Kevin and Sammy against the Usos at Elimination Chamber in Montreal.
Well, I think that's what they're going to do, But it's just a matter of like getting to the Rumble and getting through the Rumble. I think after this match, Kevin Owens probably will go away for a little bit. He does have a bad knee, apparently. I know sprained MCL is not like the worst knee injury, but it's probably not something that you need to, put on the line for Raw 6 weeks before the next pay-per-view. Yeah, you could probably keep him out for a little bit. But what I think is it would probably make sense for the baby faces again if you do want to go and start Roman and Sammy. You do have time for it, but I think they're going to do it here. Even though it would be pretty great visuals, the Bloodline, you know, standing tall, best faction ever, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Win war game. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to want to pass that up, but I'm going to go with the baby faces. But overall, just an excitement level for a match that I've not had in quite some time.
Yeah, listen, that ending on Friday, I was...
Yeah, incredible.
That was something straight out of the year 2000 with how much star power was in that mm-hmm. segment and the return of Owens and whatnot. They really structured and laid that out incredibly well. See, I think it depends... It ultimately depends on what they want to accomplish here. Like you said, do they want to showcase the Bloodline as the best faction ever and have them stand tall in War Games? Or is Survivor Series the beginning of the end? Because we probably figure, we just talked about this with, you know, needing a world champion. We probably figure this is all coming to an end in early April. At some point, you do need a point of infliction for where things start to descend. I think that could be here.
Yeah.
Because I think the Bloodline do need some adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird to say about heels, but I think that they've been so dominant. There needs to, if you're going to start the downfall, this is the place to do it. But what I will say is with regards to, there's obviously Sammy's probably going to get the pin,
mm-hmm.
right? Because maybe KO pins him.
Yeah.
I think that's clearer than figuring out. So, Pierce, you think that the heels are going to win. I'm trying to figure out who's the babyface that's going to lose. I mean, Ridge would make sense because he's the lowest on the star pole, yeah, but I mean, he's also a big dude.
That's Drew again.
No, I think there's a lot more to build there with Sammy and KO, especially if the point is to get Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns to a championship match. So I see this as KO takes the pin. There's some kind of, you know, stoppage between him and Sammy. He can't do a deed to Sammy, or, you know, he's trusting him a little bit too much because he said he still considers him to be a friend. Sammy's allegiances, yeah, like it seems like he still loves KO, and like that's facts, but, you know, Sammy's allegiances have stayed with the Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the end, he's going to, while there is some kind of, you know, worry, you know, he's going to stay true to the Bloodline, and Roman's going to get the pin on KO. That's going to set up a championship match between the two of them whenever, seeing that we don't have a title match until the Rumble. But that's where I see it going. If I'm playing into the zigzag theory here, that would be my guess. Again, there's so much more to be done here with the Bloodline, with Kevin Owens, with the friendship between Kevin and Sammy. I'm interested in seeing how that plays out. But
yeah, and I mean, it is worth noting you don't necessarily have to start the Roman-Sammy stuff yet. I know it's been, you know, building for a while, but like you look at where SmackDown's in, you know, Pittsburgh in a few weeks. It's a good market. They got a double taping leading up to Christmas in Rosemont. That's a good market. So, like, you're going to have opportunities in front of hot crowds to do it elsewhere, mm-hmm. you know, and if you don't want to start it.
SmackDown has been the best it's been in a really long time. And a main factor of that has been the relationship between Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. I don't think you know that just yet.
Exactly. I know, you know, Raw goes up against football, but SmackDown has consistent numbers every week and well over 2 million.
Yeah, and see, this, I think that's a good sign for them. I know we don't talk about ratings a lot, but that's a good sign for them.
Next Friday, right?
Was
it Big Ten Championship, Pac-12 Championship?
No, it's the Pac-12 game. The Pac-12 title game, I think, is next Friday. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think obviously it's conference championship week. The Pac-12 title game is always on Friday, and it's always on Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On even years, it's on Fox. On odd years, it's on ESPN.
Well, that's fair. I mean,
so yeah, they'll probably get bumped again.
Wasn't
but
on
no
Fox
fine.
Last year?
It was not. No, it was on. It was definitely on ESPN.
Oh, okay.
If I recall correctly, because it was Utah against. Utah face.
Yeah,
Utah.
Live coverage.
Oh, don't want to talk about that.
Wait. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not talking about that. Never mind. Yeah. That's right.
Sorry, you already forgot. Well, good. It's a good thing you got your payback this past week.
Yes. Won me some yes. money. I actually fell asleep before that game ended. I was so tired.
Cam Rising sucks. I mean, like Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is defrauding a lot of people. But yeah, Cam Rising sucks. Yeah. Let's go back to the year 2006. We just got done with Cyber Sunday. We can move on to the Road to Survivor Series now.
Yeah. We got the top five songs. Number five, Sexy Back. Down to four is Lips of an Angel. Down to three is Moneymaker. Sting at number two is Smack That. And number one, Justin Timberlake's second top five song this week, My Love. The song that I forgot about because, you know, song. Whatever. Yeah.
I'm so shocked movies. That Lips of an Angel has been on the top five for this long.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
I didn't know that this song was that big. Like
it was.
And it was like I liked it years later, but I didn't know it was that big.
Mm-hmm. Departed down to number five from number two. Saw three is down to four from number one. Debuting at number three is Flushed Away. Debuting at number two is the Santa Claus 3. Debuting at number one is Borat.
That was a movie a lot of people liked.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never seen the first Borat. The second Borat.
Yeah, neither have I.
The second Borat's decent.
It's not the first one's not bad. Like I don't imagine it's aged particularly well.
Probably, but not.
For the time, it was funny. Second one was fine. Let's see. We did the NFL stuff when we were talking about Cyber Sunday, but we have a Monday Night Football game. The Seahawks improved to 5-3 on the year. With a 16-0 win over the Raiders. Deion Branch got a touchdown in the first quarter, and then Josh Brown hit three field goals. And that was the game.
The Raiders also gave up 9 sacks in the game.
Yeah, would you like and to guess who they're...
punted 10 times and only ran one play inside Seattle's 30-yard line.
I wonder what they're going to do with their number
their
one
QB
pick.
Was Andrew Walter, right?
It was, yeah.
Who?
That's what we were getting to.
Who?
Andrew Walter from
Arizona State.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just that year that he played for them, yeah. I think. And now, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they had Randy Moss still, too.
They did, yeah. They did.
Poor Randy Moss. God. Gosh.
Seattle's quarterback was Seneca Wallace.
He was. So that's correct.
Oh, they had Warren Sapp, too. I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they did have Warren Sapp. They
did have Warren Sapp. Poor Charles. Once it's gone by this point, right?
Yes.
Okay, I was gonna say poor Charles Woodson.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, he's not there anymore. We get into Raw from Columbus. Edge and Orton and Lita are here to open the show. They brag about beating DX and the fans get mad, but Randy reminds them they voted for Bischoff, which is fair.
Yeah.
Very fair.
It's a new era on Raw. The era is rated RKO, and Randy introduces Bischoff, who comes out. Bischoff thanks everyone for voting for him. He wants to thank Vince, because Eric's book is making money, so Vince owed Bischoff a favor, and Eric is GM again for one night only. John Cena has the night off tonight. DX is banned from entering the building. There'll be some people rewarded by Bischoff, like Johnny Nitro, who will wrestle Jeff Hardy for the Intercontinental title. Flair and Piper come out. Rick has no problem coming down there and kicking Bischoff's ass again. Edge starts talking about the cutting edge when Flair was on it, and then Piper gets mad at everybody, and Bischoff books rated RKO against Flair and Piper in a no DQ match for the main event.
I at least appreciate the fact that they, you know, remembered the long-standing feuds of Eric Bischoff. They
yes.
Didn't bring him back for one night only. And the relationships, you know, Johnny Nitro and all.
Yeah, exactly. So we go right into Johnny Nitro against Jeff Hardy for the Intercontinental title. Melina keeps interfering, and then when the ref goes and DQs her, Bischoff comes out, says it's a no DQ match, and then that leads to her just still interfering, and then Nitro wins. So he's the Intercontinental Champion now, which don't really love that, but, you know.
Yep. After they argued backstage, Eric Bischoff said the Spirit Squad will face Eugene and Hacksaw Jim Duggan tonight, and the losing team will split up. Maria came in, and Bischoff said that she has to face Umaga tonight or she's fired since she testified against him at his trial last year. So continuity rules over, but this is just kind of whatever.
Yeah, because, I mean, I get it, but, like, no one wants to see it.
No one wants to see that.
It doesn't make for good television.
No, it doesn't.
Kevin Federline challenges John Cena to a match on Raw on New Year's Day.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's not great. That's your big thing to counteract, you know, the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl and all that stuff.
That was your big idea to counter LSU versus Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Who was in the Rose Bowl? Was that like USC versus like Penn State?
It was USC versus Michigan.
Michigan.
And I remember that game because, unfortunately, the USC kicker missed a lot of field goals and then, unfortunately, committed suicide after.
Oh. He did.
That's tragically, funny. Yeah. I think it was I forgot his name, and I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Might be the Rose Bowl this year.
And I'll see it. It might be the Rose Bowl this year. That is correct.
I think Michigan's in the playoff either way, but we'll see. Never know what can happen. Spirit Squad defeat Hacksaw on Eugene. Eugene attacks Hacksaw after, so I guess they're going to have a feud now. Could probably just keep that on heat. Umaga does a couple big moves on Maria, but John Cena comes out before it can get too bad and gets a save, and Umaga held back from a fight by Armando, so Cena's feuding with Umaga and Kevin Federline now.
I'm excited about one of those things.
Yeah. Cena accepts Kevin Federline's challenge and hits Todd Grisham with an FU. Really excited for Cena and Umaga. Great match. Eric Bischoff says that he's going to referee the main event tonight. He also says JR has to face Chris Masters. JR refuses that, so Jerry Lawler does instead, and Bischoff says that Lawler can wrestle Masters while handcuffed to the rope, and Masters just kind of kicks his ass. You know, whatever. Carlito's in action against Shelton Benjamin. Get crime time on commentary with JR, and they go steal Shelton's shirt and necklace, and Shelton's distracted, and Carlito hits the backstabber and gets the win. Lita defeats Mickey, who had to wrestle with one hand tied behind her back per Eric Bischoff's ruling, which probably not the best idea, but whatever. They don't care about the women's division. So.
No, they don't.
Rated RKO against Ric Flair and Roddy Piper for the World Tag Team Championships. Eric Bischoff is special referee. DX comes out, takes him out late in the match, brings in a new ref, and Sean hits Sweet Chin Music on Edge, pulls Flair on top, and then Flair and Piper retain, and then Bischoff gets a sting face from Big Dick Johnson, and that is how we end Raw.
You know, this is once again a situation where I wasn't sure if the forums were really lying to me and if people were just being negative and if the shows didn't suck. They did.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, SmackDown's not bad.
SmackDown is a fun show because it's like...
You'll get like a Finley
match. Yeah, you'll get like a Finley match, and Kennedy is entertaining enough. You might get a Lashley match. You'll see Batista.
Yeah.
Raw's very one note.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't like DX or Kevin Federline,
well, even, not really going to be... Even with that being said, I think Raw has bigger stars, but they have no mid-card.
Yeah.
It's legitimately just Carlito, Shelton, Nitro, and Hardy, but they don't intermingle with the top talent.
Yeah.
So you have situations where you have matches like Hacksaw and Eugene against the Spirit Squad.
Yeah.
And then it also
and
extends.
Flair and Piper.
But also extends to the tag team division.
Yes.
When has Raw's
yes.
tag team division been interesting? Or when have they had dudes that you cared about? Even the heels are all heels that aren't heels you want to see. They all get go away heat. So
That's really the thing.
Yeah, like, Raw has been absent that really for our entire stretch here.
Yeah, because I mean,
I would argue that at least
they had, you know,
I know they had the Dudleys at one point, but even then, by 2003 or whatever, they were past their prime.
Yeah, they've been gone for a while. You know, they had
La Resistance. They
Booker,
had
Booker and Goldust, but that was a few years ago.
That was already a few years
Evolution,
ago.
Evolution.
Like they were doing Kate something.
Big Show had him for like 6 months.
They were doing something with Kate and Murdoch or whatever, but that obviously has not come to fruition all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great.
It's not. And speaking of things that aren't great, let's move to ECW.
Yes, which is somehow only going to get worse in the next few weeks.
God.
ECW from Moline, Illinois, Mark of the Quad Cities Arena. Mike Knox in action against CM Punk in Extreme Elimination Chamber qualifying match. Punk wins with the Anaconda Vice. He's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. Good for him. Paul Heyman is in action tonight with the Big Show against Hardcore Holly and RVD. Announces the last person in the Extreme Elimination Chamber can come from any brand. So they add some intrigue. Daivari picks up a win against Little Guido. Tess defeats Tommy Dreamer for the second to last Extreme Elimination Chamber spot. Then we do RVD and Hardcore Holly against Big Show and Heyman. Heyman doesn't want to get in the ring. And then once he finally does, Hardcore Holly turns on RVD and ends up being a no contest. That was ECW.
Thank God. What do we got? Sorry, I'm just trying to quickly move on from that shit.
Okay, quick sports interjection here before we talk about SmackDown. A few things happened over the course of the week. Two managerial vacancies were filled. Ron Washington, coach for the Oakland A's, was named the manager of the Texas Rangers on Monday. And then on Wednesday, the Padres named Bud Black their manager and also traded rookie second baseman Josh Barfield to the Cleveland Indians for two minor leaguers.
No, there you go.
I don't know who those two minor leaguers
are. I'm totally stupid. Did we already do the Cubs? We should.
Yes.
Because we did Soriano, right?
I don't know if we talked – we might have talked about Soriano, but I know I talked about Pinella on the – I think it was the last podcast Rob and I did.
I think Soriano signs like the week
Thanksgiving. The week after. That's right. Okay, we haven't even hit it yet. That's right.
Yeah, and for the record,
just
the two minor –
just passing real time, but not in
– Yeah. The two minor leaguers that Cleveland sent to San Diego were Kevin Kuzmanoff and Andrew Brown.
Okay.
Kevin
Kuzmanoff ended up being
okay. Kuzmanoff was fine.
Who did he play
for? Let's see. If there was anything else,
who did Kevin Kuzmanoff play for, and what did he play? Like the name sounds familiar. He was like a Cardinal,
a utility infielder.
Yeah, he was a utility infielder. Played first base and third base.
San Diego and Oakland mostly.
Yeah,
like towards the late 2000s,
second base, left
fieldish.
Yeah,
left-handed hit. No, he's right-handed hitter. I'm vaguely remembering him, but yeah.
Yeah, and he was on the Rangers.
Like, yeah, he was on the Rangers in 2014.
Yeah,
Pirates or Padres. Yeah, it sounds
right. And then on Thursday, big news out of the state of New Jersey. Rutgers beat Louisville 28-25, third-ranked Louisville, I might add, in Piscataway because of Jeremy Ito's 28-yard field goal with 13 seconds left. That, at the time, was the biggest win in Rutgers football history.
Was this Brian Brown out there?
Oh, yeah. That was I think that's the most fan – that was the most fan support that I had ever personally lived through for Rutgers, because obviously they were kind of just mediocre or just not really worth caring about.
Yeah.
People would go to the games. The traffic would always be a nightmare getting into Piscataway, but it always is anyway. But that was a huge deal out in New Jersey. I saw there were so many people out there by then who were wearing Rutgers apparel, who had never seen wear Rutgers apparel before, myself included. So yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah,
that was a huge deal.
Brian Brohm, junior quarterback, Michael Bush, senior running back, Amobi Okoye before he got drafted as the youngest player in NFL history. William Gay was a corner on that Louisville team. I didn't know they were top three, like gunning for national championships.
Yeah. They were way up there that year. That of course was only their second year in the Big East. They wound up finishing 12-1.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Wonder what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
All right.
You get and to- then let's see if there's anything else. Okay. There's one move in baseball worth discussing, and that was that the Yankees traded Gary Sheffield to the Detroit Tigers for three players after his option was picked up by the Yankees.
Before we talk about Sheffield, who were those three players?
That is what I'm about to look up. Let's see.
Okay, well, while you do that, that was a whole thing, because either right before that or right after that, Gary Sheffield was accusing the Yankees of racism, and he then said that Derek Jeter was not black.
Umberto Kevin Whelan and Anthony Claggett, who I've not heard of any of
them. And I've not heard of any of those guys
Umberto
either, no.
Sanchez, like, do I remember him? Yeah, they got three bums back. Yeah, that was a whole thing, but I remember when Sheffield signed with the Yankees, like, after 03, and it was like, okay, yeah, they just got Sheffield and A-Rod to add to Giambi and shit. Like, this is what's going to get the Yankees over the hump. And they talked about it in The Captain. It was way too many fucking cooks in the kitchen. Way too many just, like, dudes that were on their solo shit. And Sheffield, even though he was great, you know, 30-plus home runs, hitting 300, driving in over 100 runs, he's still, like, a singular guy at the end of the day. And it never meshed. It never led to postseason success. I think they replaced him with Bobby Abreu.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything happened afterwards. But
yeah, and he had missed most of 2006. He had a wrist injury after he collided with Shea Hillenbrand.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
So yeah, it was
one of the dudes who probably should be in the Hall of Fame if he made a couple different choices. But
yeah, I mean, because the support for him has been going up, but I don't think he's going to get to
if it is. 75. Yeah, if it is, it's going to be in the committees.
Yeah. All right.
The funny thing, of course, with anything with Rutgers football is that whenever they achieve something good, they wound up losing to West Virginia anyway. Which they did in their season finale.
Was that a big rivalry for Rutgers? Because I've been trying to figure out, like, what's Rutgers' rival? They clearly don't have one in the Big Ten. It was probably should be Penn State. But, like, yeah, they don't have a rival.
Yeah, well, the thing was, again, like, they just... It was in the Big East. They would always, Rutgers would always find a way to just run into them and then they would just kick their ass. Because I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, and I'm going to look this up right now, they beat South Florida when they were number two, Rutgers that is. And then I think the following year, because it was a rare time that it actually like snowed correctly, that game's played in the snow.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about SmackDown.
Yes, SmackDown, also from Columbus because they are in England next week, which we'll get into next week. Booker T's here to open the show. He's the champion of champions now. Talks about how he's beaten everyone for a while. And Teddy Long comes out, says that he owes Batista a favor for protecting Booker last week. So Batista's going to get a title shot at Survivor Series against whoever's champion. Because Booker is facing Lashley for the to win, but Charmel grabs his leg and Booker rolls him up for the win. And Lashley is on to...
Hopefully.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Teddy Long tells MVP that next week he'll be in a street fight against Kane. Vicky and Chavo tell Chris Benoit to mind his own business, which...
That could have came in handy.
Yeah, good advice. Gregory Helms and Sylvain defeat Matt Hardy and Jimmy Wang Yang when Gregory Helms pins Matt Hardy, if you can believe that. Another guy who's got some better things coming his way soon.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Kennedy calls out The Undertaker, and when he comes out, Kennedy hits him with the microphone repeatedly, but Undertaker sits up after. It's going to lead to a last ride match.
It was an effective segment.
Yeah.
I'm still... For whatever reason, I guess I shouldn't say for whatever reason, he worked for me. Kennedy is still working for me. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see when he doesn't work for me.
Yeah. No, for sure. Chris Benoit defeats Casey James. Boogeyman wins a squash. And then we move on to our main event, Batista against Finlay. Great match. Very good TV main event. Crowd was super into it. They played the hits, you know, got physical. Batista won, and now he can focus on Booker and getting the title back finally, because it's been, you know, 10 months now.
Exactly.
He's done everything he needs to do, and, you know, Booker's had a legitimate reign, and now it's time to change it up. Mm-hmm. And that was SmackDown.
All right, so out of this week, who would be your guy's king of the ring?
It's tough because, you know, Nitro won the title, but it was stupid. They probably shouldn't have done it that way.
Nope. Let's go Batista.
Yeah, probably Batista. He got a title match. You know, he finished.
Cleared the path. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll go Batista.
I walk with miles inside this pit of danger. If you're hanging out with your cousins this Thanksgiving, I hope you're able to do the finger guns or whatever cool shit you do with your family wrestling-wise, if that's what they partake in. Get some good food and you get around your family and go enjoy the holidays and enjoy being here because this shit is not promised. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinNeil31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At BarbershareNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. The boys will be in New York. Yuck. To watch Mike White against tentatively Justin Fields. So instead of watching the game, just pay attention to 79th and Hollis, and I promise you, you'll get everything you need to know out of the Chicago Bears. That's going to be it. Enjoy the holiday weekend. We'll see you guys later to talk more wrestling after Survivor Series right here on Ruthless Aggression.